I don't know about you, but I'm pretty hungry. It's getting kind of close to snack time. I've been eating some green stuff lately, picking it up off the floor, trying to avoid the ants that kind of sting a bit. My mom and dad are way over in the bush. They're having a great time with my sister and my brother. Do you hear that? They're running. I can feel the ground. My family is running. Oh my gosh, now they're singing in the wind, and I can feel their voices hit my skin. And my ears are flapping really hard. I don't know what they're saying. They're running so fast. I can't keep up. My mom's really, really upset. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I am so scared. Mom, slow down. Wait for me. And I can't keep up. Ouch! A branch just hits me in the head. Oh, I feel my mother's connection. She is sending me a message, and it's hit my mind. Be still. Hide. Find a place to hide. There is danger in the forest. Oh, now where am I going to hide? Kind of big. I don't know how to pull the bushes around me. Oh, maybe I should go over here. I can hide in this clump of trees. Maybe they'll think I'm a stone. I don't know what I'm hiding from, but it's coming close. I can feel the footsteps. They feel like mountains hitting the ground. Oh, high up there. I'm little, and you're really, really big. Wow. You kind of look like me, but you're a little different. What's that thing sitting up on your back? Oh, it's telling you what to do. Oh, hey, don't touch me. You're not supposed to touch me. You're a stranger. I don't like to be touched by strangers. My parents told me not to ever be touched by strangers and not to surrender when you are threatened. I need to run away from you. Excuse me, you're just a little too big for me. Hey, let go of me. Oh, you've got another friend over here. Hey, you guys, put me down. Mom, Mom, I can't get away from these things. Mom. Oh, I'm so tired. I have spent all my day fighting these great big things that have hauled me over to this box made out of dead trees, and I can't get out. I don't know what to do. I can hear my mother thinking about me and my father really, really trying to break down the woods looking for me, but I'm nowhere to be found because I'm stuck in this place. Now, I am surrounded by these things that walk with two legs and they have sticks and they poke at me and ouch, and they try to make me move from one side of the box to the other. They think that I'm supposed to like them. I'm supposed to surrender to them and let them touch me. How insulting. I am free. I am a creature of the jungle. How dare they submit me to their petty, petty ideas that they're going to control me. Now, a couple of days have gone by and the food and water thing is really, really wearing on me. I have to eat and I have to drink because it's just so hot. So here I am. I have to surrender. I have to let them touch me. I have to be what they want me to be. I have to fit into their system. They have trained snakes here. Those snakes wrap around my legs. They have another snake that they've put over my back and they pull me to the ground. And it doesn't matter how hard I struggle against these snakes, they've tied them off to the big trees, and I can't break the snake. I can't stand up, and I have to submit to letting them touch me. For the rest of my life, I will live with the concept that I will never, ever get away from the snake that is around my leg and is tied to a twig in the ground. And I will stand in the circus, and I will stand at the zoo, and I will perform the program tricks of the two-legged ones. I am free in my mind, but my body is trapped. It's trapped in a program that says if you don't perform, you don't eat, you don't get brushed, you don't get washed, and you will not be able to enjoy the simple conversation of the friends that you have made. Welcome to ESO Logic. My name is Patricia Cleveland. I'm your host, and I'm here to invite you to open your mind and challenge your thoughts and maybe shift the way you view life. The story I just presented to you is a story that was channeled to me by a baby elephant that had arrived at a zoo. Now, I'm not saying that zoos are bad, and I'm not saying that baby elephants are in trouble, but what I am going to suggest is that there is a method out there called domestication that promotes the alteration of the innocent mind and puts it into a box, desensitizing it from its natural world and disconnecting it from the essence of nature. So, here we go. ESO Logic. ESO Logic is here to help represent the conversations that are hidden behind the things that we do every day and perceive as logical. There are things that we see and we don't even know what we're seeing. We don't understand what we're doing. And we certainly are missing the value of our actions and impact on the natural harmonics of the world that we live in. Just like the baby elephant, we have trainers and we've been programmed. And there's a saying that so above as below. Well, if we're above the animals and we look at what's happening to them, we will quickly see that it's not a very pleasant world. And I'm hoping through this show to offer you clues and hints on how we can open the doors to broadening the understanding of who we are, why we're here, what we can learn from the animals that we live with every day, what we can learn from nature, and the expanded universe and the concepts of community. Now, I am a very interesting person in my own right. I'm not saying that as an ego or anything else. My journey through life has created an awareness that I really personally thought everybody was born with. And I spent most of my life thinking that people could hear animals talk, or people could feel the whisper of a tree, or people actually could understand what it was like to touch somebody without physically touching them. This is my world. I'm a creative force. I am who I am. And I have gone through the Elephant Trainers program. My experiences in school really illustrated that maybe there's some brainwashing going on. And when you fit into the brainwashing program, you actually lose your independent thought. The program, let me tell you, the program is amazing. You arrive here in this domain of energy and solid form, and you're structured to be loved and to love back and to be true. But when you come out and say the truth, you just kind of told, hey, really don't do that. Don't go there. And then you go to school. And I can remember going to school because I just never made any sense why we actually had to go inside a building to learn something when all the things I wanted to learn were outside. All the things that made me sunshiny and healthy were outside. And I can actually remember the programming process. I think I was like in grade 2, and I had this great fascination with gum. And here I am going to school every day with my pack of gum. And I would sit in that classroom and I would chew the gum. And that poor teacher, I think I must have challenged her to the day she quit. But anyway, here I am sitting at my desk answering questions with my hand up in the air thinking, hey, I can regurgitate that answer. I know how to fit in. Chewing on my gum. And the next thing you know, the teacher walks up, and in her great wisdom of trying to get me to conform to the Elephant Trainers program, she asked me to spit the gum out. I did. She asked me to roll it up in a ball, and I did that too. And the next thing you know, she asked me to stick the gum on my nose. Well, that was kind of silly, don't you think? Because I really liked chewing the gum. It kind of satisfied my need for some kind of nurturing that may have made me feel calm or still in that classroom, which I found so uncomfortable. So I stick the gum on my nose, and I sit there. I sit there for the whole morning answering questions with a piece of gum stuck on my nose. Now everybody in the room would turn and look at me like, hey, she's not normal. Look at her. She looks really stupid. She got the piece of gum on her nose. She's really dumb. She doesn't know that she's not supposed to chew gum in school. Well, that was all well and good. It made a great impression. Such a great impression that this independent child took out another piece of gum, put it in her mouth. Now, this happened after recess. So, at recess, I actually had to take the first piece of gum off my nose. It stuck to my nose. And maybe out of self-gratification or subconsciously a state of rebellion, I took and started chewing on the second piece of gum. And again, I go into the classroom and I'm participating in the regurgitation of great knowledge. And again, I get pulled up with a piece of gum on my nose. So, whether I'm a rebel or whether I'm a slow learner or whether I'm just totally independent of the system, I will leave that up to you to figure out. But the chewing gum process in school went on for about 5 weeks. My parents were called in. There was not very much they could do because even though they took my allowance away, I stole from my brother's allowance and went up to the corner store every day after school and bought another nickel's worth of gum. So I'm one of those elephants that I have been trained. It wasn't an easy process. And after I had gone through the process and got my little pieces of paper that said I could regurgitate the knowledge that supports the Elephant Trainers program, I sat down and went, I think it's time to chew gum. And I've been chewing gum ever since. My background is as a horse trainer. And that has brought me to producing this show for you. My background is really technical. I actually am really, really inspired by the interaction of horses. They seem to be my medium of communication. It's like I stand in a room full of people and I will hear the horse's conversation before I will hear the owner. So I'm in tune with nature. And nature has actually shown me a way of releasing the subconscious programming trapped in our bodies. And it's really come out as a rebirthing process. And all of this arrived in my hands because at one point in my career of showing horses, I just looked at this and said, this is crazy. Why are we training these animals and making them do things when they're uncomfortable? And just like the baby elephant, they subconsciously submit to the program. But it's self-destructive. And if we're the guardians of nature, if in the Bible it refers to us as having no domain over the animals, what are we doing? What are we doing? I think we've missed the point. There's a lot to learn from our animals. They create a nurturing world if we would be brave enough to let go of the fear. Because right now, we're being artificially programmed to be afraid of the dog. The dog might bite you. Well, sure, the dog might bite you if you are not willing to stand still and let that dog actually give you permission to come into his world and be a partner. That dog may bite you because he's afraid of whatever it is that you're afraid of. He might see something that's really scary to him because animals perceive energy and shape and form and sound on a totally different level than the human mind. So I'm here to suggest that there is no fear. only to be afraid of the programming that those animals experience from us and the programming that we experience from the elephant trainer, yet to be defined. And that might come in later shows. So the first thing I want to offer you is the opportunity to understand that I am here to help share the growing relationship between you and your animals, to help you problem solve the emotional and perhaps the physical distress that they may be experiencing. I'm here to provide you clues and knowledge that's buried in ancient writings, in hands-on experience, and to give you some references and gifts to go home with. Now, I'm not going to tell you what to think, and I'm not going to tell you what's right or wrong. I'm just going to say, here's a clue, here's a thread. Get on the internet, go down to this site and look up this idea. One of the most wonderful liberating perspectives about the man and his world experience was a book that was published in, I think it was 1991, and it's called The Mutant Message Down Under. Mutant Message Down Under. And it was written by, it was written by Marlo Morgan. And she was a lovely lady who had some amazing experiences in the outback with the Aborigines of Australia. Now, this book came to me as a coincidence, but in retrospect, it held a lot of meaning because it illustrates the childlike perception of an energetic lifestyle that depends on the human connection with nature. And I brought those concepts into my everyday life because as a healing person, as a person that trains animals, I have things that happen that aren't normal. Now, most of the listeners are most probably in that same category. Stuff just happens. You may want to call it a miracle. Okay. You may say it's a quandary. Great. But when you go to tell your friends or mainstream thinkers that, hey, that just happened, or you know that if you do this and this, you come out with a completely different outcome, and people laugh at you, and they're not sure how to understand how to interact with you because now you have challenged the elephant trainer's programming. Science says that the majority of things that I've been able to accomplish in my research program, and you can check it out, it's called the Balanced Horse Project, balancedhorseproject.net, okay? I have been able to transform the pain of the body into an absolutely sound, healthy, highly functioning being in a horse suit. Without using medicine, without using shoes, without forced training, all as I did was I changed its perspective. I brought in the idea of universal harmonics and the conductive value of the body. And if you can bring that value up so that the body, kind of like a battery, can hold energy and let that energy go really, really fast, the cell structure and the DNA held in those cells will actually talk to each other. And they will start to acknowledge that there is something out of balance and needs to heal. And that's what I've been able to do. And these events have been happening throughout my whole career. And I took 12 years, now 13. And I have documented how the effects of organic healing through the release of birth trauma, birth artifacts, can actually naturally transform not just the physical body, but the behavior patterns of animals. Now, these animals are very, very interesting. And I'm going to get back to talking about the Balanced Horse Project and these animals in a few minutes. I think I'm just going to take a break and have a sip on my tea. And I'll be back and talk to you soon. Refreshed me. I'm back. I just think that the world is too amazing just to kind of put in a box and say, oh, it's outside my window and I'm going to look at it. I actually live on a farm here in Dothan, Alabama. I'm originally from Toronto, Ontario, and the things that I have learned in life just are totally cool. Now, when I read this book, The Mutant Message Down Under, there's a section in there, a chapter, about an Aboriginal guy, and he actually fell and had a compounded fracture. Now, Marlo was a trained nurse, and she really wanted to dash in there and, you know, stabilize the site and disinfect it and pull the leg and do what nurses are trained to do. But she was held away from the situation. And the man medicine shaman and the female shaman moved over to this man. And, you know, people don't understand that there's energy fields around the body. A lot of the listeners do, but some people don't. These medicine people healed this man's leg, and they never touched his body, and the man never had pain. And once they took and merged the male and female energy around the wound site so that the man's physical body was not distressed, they were then able to take and stretch his leg out, and the bones slipped into place. And as the bone moved and the skin fell back into place, Marlowe thought, okay, this guy's going to have systemic infection. He's not going to be able to walk. We'll have to carry him across the desert. Well, that wasn't the case. The healers continued to move and knit the damaged energy like a wound in the energy field of the man. And the next morning, he was a little sore when he stood up to take the first couple of steps, but he never ran a temperature. He never was in pain, and he continued to walk on the journey across the desert. Now, that whole concept of knitting together the damaged field of energy around the body totally intrigued me. And so I started to work energy like that. Now, I'm going to just give you guys a phone number, two phone numbers, if you're not used to calling in to the BBS. This is a toll-free number. It's 888-627-6008. I'll repeat that. It's 888-627-6008. Or we have a local line of 532-327-7602. So let me do that one again. 532-327-7602. And what if you have anything to contribute as to experiences or ideas, give me a shout, because it's all fun to share. I'm not the only person that has these things going on in life. But anyway, to get back to working and learning about energy, I work with some of the most interesting horses. To start my research project, I actually had horses given to me that had euthanization orders. That means to kill them because they wouldn't conform. They wouldn't surrender their subconscious freedom. And then I had horses that had surrendered and literally surrendered their body and became wounded warriors, wounded victims. And these animals came into our property, and I've worked to create a healing envelope, a womb, a place for both animal and person to do better for themselves. And I had this one individual come in. His name was Harley, and Harley was massive, and he had a lameness in his fetlock, and that made it really hard for Harley to walk. And Harley hated people, and I mean hated people. Harley would take one look at you and walk away. And if you proceeded to follow him, he would find a way to trot or canter to keep, a minimum of 200 feet distance. So we herded Harley into a small area so that maybe someday I could touch this horse. And he taught me a lot. And the first thing he taught me was animals have the right to give us permission to touch them. And in retrospect or in partnership, we need to give animals permission to touch us. So there was some really bad weather coming on, and I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring Harley into the barn and give him a nice warm place for the night, because the cold rain and the wind was supposed to be pretty bad, and I didn't think it was fair. So I went out there with a bucket of oats, like candy, trying to bribe the child. Come on, conform, come here. Harley just looked at me with one of those looks that said, lady, just pick it up and go somewhere else. But I didn't, because I didn't want this horse to be out there miserable in all this bad weather. So I went to the house, and I got a rain slicker, and I sat out there. And I started at 4 in the afternoon while the sun was still up, and the weather came in, and it started getting really miserable. And I just really, really, really asked Harley on a telepathic level, or if you want to just say through your thought, to come close to me. And he did. He came close. And then I asked Harley if I could please catch him. And he would step away. And he would look at me. and I knew that he could actually understand my thoughts. So it wasn't like he couldn't hear me. He could. And sitting there, I was starting to get really friggin' cold because now it's like 6:30 at night. And, you know, you challenge yourself, what is the lesson here? What is this horse teaching me? What is the nature message that I am supposed to pick up? What's the lesson? I'm sitting on this pail. Now rain is running down my nose. My slicker is starting to leak. And I realized I needed to change my perspective. I had been asking to touch this horse. I had been asking to catch this horse. And this horse was in a state of no. So I made the shift. I changed the thought to, I give you permission to touch me. I give you permission to come into my energy field. I give you permission to feel everything, the pure essence of who I am. I give you permission to understand my intent, my desire. And it was the most amazing thing. Sitting there in the dark, soaking wet, this huge gray horse with the most romantic brown eyes moved right in. I mean, it wasn't like, 10 minutes thinking about it. It was like a minute. Harley moved right in. I mean, he was right in on top of me. Now, I didn't want to push him away, so I looked down and closed my eyes, fell into myself, and stayed in a place of absolute love coming from my heart chakra. And before I knew it, there were these great big dark lips playing with the hood of my rain slicker. He moved it around. He felt the plastic. Now, most animals would be afraid of plastic, but no, he wasn't afraid. And he moved his nuzzle all the way down to the edge of my rain slicker and started to play with my bangs. As he went along and doing that, I was sitting there, please don't pull my hair. And so he played with it even more, kind of tickled, actually, because he had whiskers. And he took his whiskers and his muzzle, and he moved down my forehead right in front of my third eye. And he stayed there for the longest time. I don't know if he was drinking my essence in. I don't know what the message was he was taking in. But then he proceeded to feel my face like a person that doesn't have eyes. He understood where my nose was. He felt my breath. He took my breath in. He nuzzled everything around my face. He went down my neck across my shoulders. And finally, he came to my hands. Now, I had been sitting there meditating with my palms up. And Harley, after about 5 minutes, gently placed his muzzle in my open hand. And he didn't take it away. He laid the weight of his head in my hand. He gave me permission to accept him because now he understood it was okay to accept me. And that's one of the first things I do. Now that I know the difference between pushing and pulling and being neutral in a natural environment, an instinctive environment. Now I understand how animals actually perceive the world. And these are talents and gifts that I share with people all the time. I help people learn about themselves. I also help them learn about their animals. And quite often, people aren't really on this page. They function in the world of, I just want my animal fixed. I want my animal better. And I help those people out. I help their animals. I give their animals the coping tools that Harley gave me. And once I actually work with the animal, the owner gets a gift. They learn a lesson. Some actually receive healings. They change physically and emotionally. And they start to understand the linkage that the elephant trainer has disrupted. So I thank Harley for the gift he's given me. Now, the idea of push and pull and neutral challenges some people. They don't quite understand that. And I think the best example that I can give you is to understand that, say you had a speck of dirt in your drink, and you'd put your finger in there, and you're going to go fishing, and you're going to try and trap that speck of dirt against the side of the glass, and then you're going to run it up the glass and out of the way, right? And you go and push towards the dirt speck, and the more you move your finger towards it, the further it moves away. And that's how most of us function. That's how we move into our animal space. We actually push our way into the energy field. We push towards our daily goals. We have been taught to push. The difference between the push and the pull works like this. You know you can't get that piece of dirt out of the drink by using just your finger. But what you can do is you can get the spoon. And you can set it in the liquid and you can drop it down under the surface. And the fluid moves that speck of dirt into the spoon. It's like a suction. It pulls towards you. And that's an amazing gift to understand, that we actually have permission to pull energy towards us. And when we use the spoon to lift the dirt speck out of our drink, it's less frustrating. It's easy. And you accomplish the goal. So if you work with people on an energy level or just day-to-day interactions, take and pretend you're holding and asking their energy to come towards you and not be in resistance, because that's the next step, is to be neutral. If you're neutral, you can watch the programming of the elephant trainer and you can make a decision on whether you want to participate with that interaction or let it go by. Not actually giving yourself back into the program. And if we did that, we would take more responsibility for the realities that we're creating. Now, animals do that a lot. You'll see animals and they'll stop and they'll stay perfectly still, like they're taking in the information from their environment around them. And sometimes that stand still and do nothing but just be is their way of holding still and letting something that they have decided not to participate in to go by. Just like the baby elephant in the woods and the telepathic message from the mother to go hide, to be still. Don't do anything. Don't let them see you. Be invisible. Well, we can do that too. And when we do that, we actually empower ourselves, because then we have the ability to learn how to interact with our animals on a completely different level. We have the ability to learn how to interact with each other on a different level. And that's a level where the elephant trainer has no control. And I think that's really one of the things that I enjoy about my job, because the elephant trainer does try to come in. Oh, he comes in, he tries to physically threaten me, financially threaten me, morally threaten me, socially threaten me. And you know what? It's all okay, because the bottom line is I am in control of the things that I choose to interact with, and I have a participating right to not give myself away. And when I work with animals, I try to not give myself away. I try to pull energy towards me so that I can actually understand on an empathetic level what their block is. Where is the pain? Where is the thing that stops the physical body from being comfortable? And when I can find that place and release it, the body spring-loads itself and it starts to heal. So I think I'm just going to take another one of those breaks, because I see a goat that I have in the front pasture trying to stick his head through the fence. So if you'll give me a couple of minutes, I'll be right back. So stay tuned.
You reach, it can happen to you, it can happen to me.
I saved the goat. Okay, I'm goat hero. We actually have a really interesting farm, and it's not all up on the website. My website actually is thebalancedhorseproject.net, and it's designed not so much on the spiritual level because I work with a lot of mainstreamers. I work with people in the horse racing industry and people that have pets, and it's really, really hard for them to get their heads around the fact that there's something out there other than the physical body. But the other good thing is that through working with animals for over 32 years, I have a really wonderful group of supportive people who, without them, I wouldn't be able to be here because each one of their animals, regardless of the condition or the behavior, each one of their animals has added to a library of knowledge. And this is a library of knowledge which I'm trying to put together in a series of books. I'm hoping our first book will be available online in January of 2013. And the whole idea is to start asking people to, if you can't look at the energetic side, to at least give people a tool so that they have something to look at to say, hey, I'm looking at this body and, I see something that's not quite right. And here's a book that says, hey, you're right. That's not quite right. And that problem is going to have a chain reaction through the body. And that chain reaction moves from the physical pain of being born and how there's little indentations in the muscle that holds a disruptive energetic frequency. And that frequency stops the muscle from relaxing and releasing any kind of kinks in the structure. So once you understand that process, then you can understand how to unwind the body. But I've got to address one step at a time. I have one approach for people who are mainstreamers, who are physical, and they see their animal and they love it. And it's maybe their best friend, and they want to do the best they can. And they know that the system of the elephant trainer isn't working, and maybe they'll try this. So I want to give them a tool. The other great thing is for people that are interested in an energy and they want to expand the concept, because what I've observed kind of from a different dimension, if you want to put it that way, is that we have all these dots. There's all these power centers. There's all this science. All these things are here for us to use. But because the way the elephant trainer trains the individual, the science within itself can't communicate. So you have physicists that can't talk to mathematicians, who can't talk to biologists, who aren't talking to your doctor. And that whole system is designed that way. It's done on purpose, and a lot of us know that. But that same disconnection happens in our everyday life. And from standing on a really high level of observation, it also occurs in the energy fields. We have some people that work in one philosophy. People work in a different philosophy. And we try really hard to stay neutral. We try to actually let the other person have that moment to honor that way of being, to pull them together into a hub of interactive harmonics, creates a circuit. And that circuit is the most amazing thing. And when it joins together, and not just me, and not just you, and not just all the things we think, but the things that ask us to think that way merge together on completely higher levels. And they form a reality that you and I may not actually understand in this domain, in this dimension, which I'm going to call the third dimension or third density. Okay? But it actually forms a foundational reality on a totally new level, based on the energy exchange that we produce here. We are taught, like the animals, to be afraid. And what is there to be afraid of? The elephant trainer? Well, yeah, he might be able to control the physical body. But can he actually control the thought? In some cases, maybe. Because there are things that live in different harmonic fields that like to tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, excuse me, I need you to think a little negatively right now. And to help you to do that, I'm going to introduce a parasite or a fungus that's going to convey or communicate on a level that's less than what you're designed to do. So my goal is to help people to come together to communicate. Sometimes we do that through workshops and courses. Now, I'm just starting on this journey of public disclosure, if you want to say it that way. I've been isolated with my animals for so long that I talk to the animals just like Dr. Doolittle in a way that makes me feel really comfortable. And then I have to go out into the real world where the elephant trainer has programmed his assistants, and they're making sure that everybody is performing the circus act. And I step into that realm, and I find that it's really hard for me to understand people, because I think sometimes people have given up thinking. I think they're just programmed, and they're going through the day-to-day actions of, geez, I got to get out the front door. I got to worry about paying the bills. I've got to put shoes on the kids. And all of that is creating a dynamics that's actually separating, I think, the energy conversation, the people who are understanding that there's an environment that understands and feels everything that we are. And that's translated through our interactions with animals. We desensitize our animals when we bring them in. We are no better than the elephant trainer when we domesticate an animal. The dog has puppies. Oh, they're so cute and cuddly and they're warm. And we want to nurture them. And what do? We take them away from their mothers. I just came back from doing workshops in Massachusetts. Do you know they had to put a law in Massachusetts so that you wouldn't sell the puppies any sooner than 8 weeks old? Which is saying that people are taking baby animals away from their mothers, away from their teachers, away from the one thing that might connect them to the natural social interaction with the real world, the natural world of harmonics. And we take them into our domesticated world and we tell them, hey, forget thinking like a dog. Think like a human. Perform the act. Love me. Because I don't know how to love myself. There's a big challenge there to learn to love yourself. If you learn to love yourself, it's like taking the spoon and putting it under that speck of dirt and pulling it inward. And when you love yourself, you make space, you make room for all the animals that are in your life to actually move in, just like Harley. And to feel who you are, and to value who you are as part of them. Now, in my world, I don't see a difference between me and a horse or a tree, because I perceive things as energy. Remember, I'm the kid that sat in school with gum on the end of her nose because she didn't know how to conform to the elephant trainer's program. So, value yourselves. Honor yourselves. Don't give yourself away. And if you have to go out and perform, do so. And if you have to play the game, do so. But do it in such a way that in the end, it honors who you are and how you need to be. So, I think that for right now, I would like to say thank you for listening to the first segment of ESA Logic. The next time you hear me will be next Tuesday, and you can come on over to the BBS at Station 1. I'll be here Tuesday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time, and you can continue the voyage of understanding the hidden clues and mysteries that nature offers us as both just physical beings and energetic awareness. For now, this is Patricia Cleveland from the Balanced Horse Project and ESA Logic saying, please give your heart a hug and send the love within so that it can hold more space for others to know their own love. Bye for now.
You can make